Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Margi Patel is with us, portfolio manager, managing director at Wells Capital Management. I'm looking, Margi, at what's been happening in the bond market, as we've seen no volatility in stocks over the last couple of weeks, and we're basically seeing no volatility in bonds either. That relationship intact. I'm going to send out another chart on the Bloomberg Radio Plus app, which, of course, is downloadable from the iTunes and Android stores, and you can listen to all of our programming and see the charts that Tom and I send out. And this shows just the trend line for yields on the five-year note. And we had the big volatility in equities and the volatility in bonds in the middle of October. And since then, we're back to where we were. For 6 months other than that, we don't move. The bond market becalmed now. Have we seen the lows? And this is where we are going forward?
I think we're still going to be in a trading range in treasuries, perhaps exploring a lower trading range than we've had over the last year as the Fed continuously pushes out the day where they start to raise rates. So we have steady monetary policy, the economy growing, the market able to absorb all the fixed income issuance, and really no bad news in the fixed income front as far as a spike in defaults or anything that would turn off the volatility. So more of the same.
More of the same, even as the Fed gets ever closer. I mean, are we in any danger that we break out of that range if we get, say, another strong payrolls report coming up in 2 weeks?
I don't think there's going to be any change whatsoever. And in fact, I think that the day of reckoning of trying to raise rates is being pushed out even further in the future. There's no sign of inflation anywhere. In fact, it looks as if there's a deceleration in prices, even with every month having better employment numbers. Really, we're not seeing a budge in inflation.
Margi Patel, you have hit the ball out of the park, over the left field wall, over the Mass Turnpike. I think the ball's going to land in the Charles River.
Well, and I might hit the Citgo side.
Your last 12 months, what have you done? What did you do to generate such alpha in fixed income?
The main thing I did was really not be afraid of duration, the average maturity.
You bought duration.
Yes. The people were more afraid a year ago of interest rate risk. And I feel when you're investing in high yield, it's all about default risk. So a longer duration and being in better quality bonds, they got the benefit of lower treasuries.
I've got to ask you the money question now for our Global Wall Street that listens each and every morning. High yield means energy debt. Are you concerned about oil at $80 a barrel when you fold it into getting that coupon, getting that 6 or 7% yield?
Yes, I think it makes the bottom tier part of the high yield market in the energy space a little bit vulnerable, depending how low prices go, depending how long it takes to see any drop off in capital expenditures for oil services. But again, I think it's the weakest links that are the most vulnerable.
And Margi Patel joining us from Wells Capital Management. We say good morning. Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Cohn Resnick Accounting Tax Advisory. In the affordable housing industry, your business needs transformative advice from the industry-leading experts, Cohn Resnick. Find out why at CohnResnick.com.
Now, people have, if you're not going to go anywhere in fixed income, in treasuries as part of fixed income, and you're generating alpha in the high yield space, what's the forecast going forward for high yield? What can you buy now? Can you still get enough duration to make it worthwhile?
Well, right now, high yield bonds are yielding between 4.25% on the low side to maybe 6.5% for bonds that look like they're going concern. So absolutely near the historic lows in yields, but with defaults likely to be well under 2% for the next year, it's a lot of extra yield that you should be able to keep versus a risk-free rate of close to zero.
It sounds like in the fixed income markets going forward, and I don't know how far out you're making this prediction, but it's like take what you can get at this point because it's about as good as it can get.
Yes. The ratio of the extra yield you get in high yield is about 450 to 475 basis points over treasuries. That's actually wide enough that if we did have treasury rates go up maybe by 100 basis points, there'd be no reason for a big correction.
Okay, this let's translate this into English. If I go into high yield, I pick up a year and 8 months, a year and 10 months of yield right away over what I'm going to get in full faith and credit treasuries. If I'm gloomy and I get higher yields, higher two-year yield, higher full faith and credit 10-year yield, what happens to Margie Patel's world?
If treasury rates go up, I think high-yield bonds are going to stay about the same level they are at because with very few defaults in sight, there's no reason why high-yield bonds should go up. But I think the extra yield over treasuries will shrink as treasuries go up. Instead of 4 percentage points, you might get 3 percentage points. So still attractive unless defaults go up.
Mike, that's just beautifully explained of the game, and I mean that with great respect, that's played every day. High yield has this yield. I'm putting my hand up, folks. And, you know, the U.S. full faith and credit yield comes up, and that yield doesn't move.
Yeah,
that's the belief. That's the hope.
Well, that's what I'm saying here in terms of, you know, take what you can get. There doesn't seem to be a lot of reasons to move the bond market. But, again, every time people have suggested that bonds are kind of over as an investment, they've been proven wrong. What's your forecast for 2015? Do we see significant movement, or is it a take what you can get, environment?
I think it's more of the same. I think treasury rates are going to be trapped at these very low levels. I would say for the whole of 2015, people are hoping and wishing we'll see an increase in treasury rates. But when you look at the facts, there's really no reason why rates should go up.
Margie Patel with us. And, you know, we of course, everyone knows we speak to the smartest people we can find on fixed income. We've made light of Mr. Gross. Margie, did you know Mr. Gross changed his job?
I did hear that.
Have you talked to Bill since then?
No, I haven't.
Okay, he's unconstrained. If he's listening this morning, we say good morning to Mr. Gross. He's unconstrained. Here's how you do it. Wells Fargo Advantage Diversified Capital Builder Fund. That's a marketing mouthful. What that means is you're in the chair. Your track record, Margie Patel, year to date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, is an act of God. How did you do it in an unconstrained way?
Two ways. One, I overemphasized the equity portion of the fund, feeling that equities would have a pretty good year. And secondly, on the fixed income side, I thought that high-yield bonds would do well. I wasn't afraid of rising interest rates, and I had longer maturity bonds, so got capital
right.
appreciation.
And so, Mike, to the heart of what you and I hear on surveillance, am I understanding you were less macroeconomic Fed analysis and more financial investment analysis across the choice set that you had?
Yes, that's correct.
Did I do okay? That was like level two answer?
Yes.
Okay, I did okay. Mike, continue.
All right, I'll be the rude person here. And
please.
Ask the question of after you pay the high front load on the fund, though, do you still have as good a return? So, being at 5.75%, that's a lot to pay going in.
That they have certain types of funds. They have to show by prospectus the highest load, even though 99% of the money goes in at a lower load. They have different classes of funds. But that's true of any active
manager. You're her lawyer speaking for her.
No, but that's what they have to do on the Bloomberg.
No, I'm just curious because a lot of people will tell you, you know, a lot of investment professionals will say, don't invest in a fund with a high front load. Why?
Well, that's if you bought a fund that way, but there are lots of ways to buy a mutual fund, and most investors who use a financial advisor would pay far less than that because it would be part of the total fee that they pay to advisors. And, of course, if you put in $1 million, you go in at the NAV and you don't have to pay a front load at all.
Well, that would be me, of course, with the money I got. We do have event risk today, the Fed minutes, and you probably have a lot of people who are interested in front-running the Fed. Everybody's waiting to see what the discussion on a considerable period is. Do you worry about things like that in your fund, Fed minutes, Fed meetings, or are you at this point more focused on what the economy is telling you about what they're going to do?
I think the Fed is speaking with many voices, but I see no sign that, looking at the real economy, that there's any reason why they would want to begin to raise rates or make any change in their policy.
Dude, that was a Kevin Costner moment. I felt like, what was the movie, the Indian movie, like 20 years ago?
Yeah,
he was out on the plains.
I believe the Hikawi tribe used to say.
Could you please put out a Bloomberg
speak with a forked tongue?
Could you put out a Bloomberg headline? That would be a great Bloomberg headline. Margie Patel, Yellen speaking with many voices. That would be
well. Yellen only has her voice. Is that what you pay attention to? Just Janet Yellen and maybe the core, Janet, Stan Fisher, and Bill Dudley.
Well, yes, Janet is, of course, the head of the Fed, but I think she seems to be a very collegial person, and so I think that she accepts counsel from all the governors as well as the staff.
Margie, we have so many listeners who are shareholders in your Wells Capital Fund or in other fixed income investments, and they've had the ugliest of ugly 6 years, everything considered. This repression is. Define financial repression and define what the remedy is for so many of our listeners.
I think financial repression is the consequence of when the Fed began to march down the road of a zero interest rate policy as a way to avoid deflation, stimulate the wealth effect by making financial assets go up. But unfortunately, when it's been combined with a lot of restrictions on lenders, banks primarily, it's really suffocated the growth that would come from lending to small business.
Has it been a reaffirmation of a plutocracy? Has it been a misapplied policy which is made for a more divided America?
It seems to be more a policy where the guiding hand of government makes capital allocation decisions. So government gets all the money. Large corporations that don't really need money, they get it. But small business really gets cut off.
Margie Patel, I got 19 more questions. Thank you so much. She's with Wells Capital.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. In San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2. And SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014 Bloomberg LP.